Mr. President, Excellencies, and distinguished delegates. I would like to start by thanking you all for your engagement today. It is an honor to address you on the occasion of Iceland's third UPR. I recognize that time will not allow us to address all the valuable questions, comments, and recommendations presented to us, but we will be as comprehensive and possible as possible and strive to leave you with an accurate picture of the current human rights situation in Iceland. Here today, I have with me a number of representatives from several ministries and representatives of the Government Steering Committee on Human Rights. During the session, I will regularly pass the floor over to them. But first, allow me to provide some reflections on your comments and recommendations and address several other key issues and significant developments that have taken place in Iceland over the past 5 years. I would like to start by thanking Uruguay, Panama, Germany, and others for following up in writing on the establishment of a national human rights institution. We are firmly committed to establishing a strong and effective mechanism in full accordance with the Paris Principles. Since our last review, several steps have been taken to this end, including the formation of a working group in 2021, and in November last year, the re-elected government included specifically the establishment in its agreement. While we do not currently have a national plan on human rights, we have in recent years adopted a number of comprehensive and focused action plans and policies on strengthening human rights protection and awareness raising in key areas. To name a few, we have action plans on gender equality, on matters concerning people with disabilities, immigrants, gender-based violence and all types of violence, human trafficking, and on the implementation of the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. Emphasis has also been put on data collection and evidence-based decision-making in various fields, including through the development of dashboards, for example, regarding children's affairs and gender equality. Following our last review, a special government steering committee on human rights was established, which serves as the formal platform for human rights consultations and cooperation across all ministries. One of the main tasks of the steering committee is to follow up on UPR recommendations and concluding observations from human rights treaty bodies, as well as to ensure improved access to information of their status and progress. Last November, the policy area of human rights was transferred from the Ministry of Justice to the Prime Minister's office. The purpose was clear, namely to accelerate human rights mainstreaming throughout the administration. I would also like to stress that Iceland is committed to implementing the UN Sustainable Development Goals. This is reflected in the new coalition treaty, where it is stated that an extensive policy on sustainable development will be developed in line with the SDGs. Sustainability and just transition will be amongst the guiding principles when addressing the climate crisis and challenges associated with technological change. Thank you to Slovenia and Belgium for inquiring about the ratification of the UN Convention for the Protection of All Persons from enforced disappearance. We are pleased to announce that the process is underway. Icelandic law is based on a dualistic system whereby national legislation is adapted to conform with international conventions ratified by Iceland. Consequently, the ratification process can take time. The Icelandic authorities emphasize their absolute devotion to continue an ambitious approach to the implementation of international human rights obligations. In this context, I would like to address some of the questions and recommendations on directly incorporating human rights conventions into Icelandic legislation. Iceland has traditionally not incorporated international conventions in their entirety into law, but rather made the necessary legislative and administrative changes to fully comply with the relevant conventions. This is considered a more effective way to ensure the greatest compliance possible with the Human Rights Convention. Additionally, the general principle is that domestic laws must be interpreted in accordance with international law. That being said, two human rights conventions have been directly incorporated into Icelandic law, and the government has decided to incorporate the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities as a whole into Icelandic legislation. Thank you for the questions raised about the ratification of optional protocols that entail communications procedures of the respective human rights treaty bodies. During our last review, Iceland noted recommendations regarding these protocols, that is, the protocols for the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, and the Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights. After careful consideration, a decision was made to ratify the third optional protocol on the rights of the child before the end of 2023. The government intends to undertake further analysis of the content and possible impact of the two other protocols. Thank you. I will now give the floor to my colleague from the Prime Minister's Office, Elisabeth Gísladóttir.